It's a joy to be here this morning to share the word of life with the people of God about our Lord who makes us alive, who gives us access to peace and joy in the midst of struggles in life. Some of us have gone through struggles, some of us are going through struggles, and some of us have struggles in the future. Today I'll be preaching from the second chapter of the little book of Jonah. Last year I preached from the first chapter at CCC, so this is following that. Jonah is named for a man called to be a prophet to the city of Nineveh. The city of Nineveh is Mosul, Iraq. And I know a lot of American soldiers who went to Mosul. And I don't know if you remember, last year in July, the ISIS terrorist went into the tomb of Jonah. Historically, they say this is where he's buried. I don't think they really know. But they destroyed it with explosives. And so Jonah is in the news even today. Jonah lived during the 8th century before Christ, during the reign of King Jeroboam II. And King Jeroboam II was a king that lived during a wealthy time. There was money flowing. People could buy their swimming pools and Mercedes. It was a wonderful time. And yet the Bible tells us that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. It's funny how times of prosperity can also be times of great evil. Jonah chapter 1, the first verse, tells us this. The Lord sent this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and give them this announcement from the Lord. I am going to destroy you, for your wickedness rises before me. It smells to the highest heaven. I wonder, do my sins smell to the highest heaven? Does your sins smell to the highest heaven? Thanks be to God. He forgives those of us who sin if we repent and turn toward him. Jonah is one of the short prophetic books. It is in the section called the Minor Prophets. And Jonah is different from the other books in that category. In fact, many of the prophets of the Old Testament have very difficult theological subjects. And they are very prophetic against the nations. Jonah is interesting because it's very personal. Jonah is really about Jonah the man and his life. And that's why it's so popular. Because many of us can see ourselves in Jonah. As Jonah ran away from God, we know that sometimes we want to run away from God. And so this is why Jonah is one of the most popular books in the Bible. In fact, it's even popular in contemporary culture. There is a Chinese artist. His name is He Qi. I think I got that right. I'm not sure. He Qi. He went to the Nanjing Institute of Art in the 60s. And he's now an artist, and he even did a display here recently in Washington, D.C., and he goes around and he paints. And I was looking on the web trying to find a picture of Jonah, and I found his piece of art. He has a picture of Jonah being thrown into the waves. Now, I didn't download it because I was afraid of copyright. You know, if you do that, someone here might know him and report me, and then I would be in big trouble. So, and the church would be in big trouble, too, so I had to be very careful. Have to make sure that the board doesn't get in trouble here. And also, Bruce Springsteen. Does anyone know Bruce Springsteen? Bruce Springsteen. He has a song also. It's called this, and it's a wonderful song. I love it. I listened to it preparing for the sermon. Swallowed up in the belly of the whale. And sometimes when we talk about the whale or the fish, we are too focused on the fish in the story of Jonah. That's not the major message. In fact, in Christianity, a lot of the time you find in our history, People trying to find a whale or a fish big enough to swallow a human being, as if they have to prove the miracle. If you have to prove a miracle, you're in trouble. A miracle is a miracle. It is a violation of the laws. And that's exactly what we see here with Jonah. And I just want to say that there's an institute in New England called the New Bedford Museum of Whaling. And they have a museum there, a research library. And you can go in there and they'll pull out a stack of stories about people that have been swallowed by whales and fish. And then they go and they try to prove that that never took place. And so it's really interesting. So one day if you have some time on your hand, go online, go on Google and type this. What species can swallow a human being? And you'll get all kinds of information, believe me. And, you know, we live in a world where people often try to discount the miraculous. But I want to give a short review of Jonah. You may not recall, Jonah was told by God to go to the city. And he refused. He went the opposite direction. He went to Joppa, which is Tel Aviv, a little spot in Tel Aviv. And then he got on a boat, bought a ticket, and he started sailing for the country of Tarshish, which most scholars think is Spain. Hiding in the bottom of the boat. Waves came, storm came. It's his fault. What to do? The crew members, what do they do to Jonah? What happens to Jonah? What do they do? What's your name with the violin? EJ, what happens to Jonah? They throw him overboard, and he goes into the water. And that's where I ended my sermon last time. The Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. God's amazing grace is that the fish was there to grab him, lest he drown. Friends, in every dark place in life, God can make a way. In every dark place, you can be thankful for God's presence. Because even at the pit of the ocean, the depths of the sea, God's presence was there. I don't know what you're going through. We have immigrants here. We have government workers here. We have people that don't have jobs. We have people struggling with family conditions, family situations. And we have people who don't know what the future is. We have people that are being persecuted for their faith here. Let me reassure you, God is with you in the midst of that. My first point is this. There are times when we have to call out to God. From inside the fish, verse 1, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. What a tough situation. I wonder, have you gone through that kind of situation in life? An accident? Jonah was swallowed by this fish under the ocean. What to do? People of great faith, Christian people, often suffer, often go through trials. And if you only have a positive attitude, if you only have wealth, if you only have your personal strength, when you're at the deepest moment of life, you won't make it. You have to have a connection with the living God. You know, we look at the world today, a lot of craziness is happening. Even in our country, our own lives, church, God is faithful. You know, it reminds me of a story. I don't know if you heard the story about the four church members. There's a Chinese church. There's a pastor, a deacon, an elder, and a teenager were arguing. Now, do people argue in church? No. They were arguing because they wanted to decide what is the best way to pray. And the teenager said, I know the best way to pray. It's to pray like this. My mom taught me. I pray like this, and my prayer goes up to God. And that was one of the answers that was given. The pastor said, you know, I pray on my knees. I've been on my knees a lot lately, praying for the deacons and the board members. A deacon says, this deacon happened to be a veteran, a military veteran who drove around in a tank. He said, I pray with my eyes open so I can watch the offering plate so no one will take anything. And then the elder said, I pray face down, eyes closed. And nobody noticed, but there was a Verizon worker up there in the ceiling, and he's like putting a line up to the ceiling, a communication line, because there's an internet problem in the church. And he yelled down, you know, I remember the best time that I prayed, my most effective prayer, when I was hanging upside down and there was a line wrapped around my foot. You know, if we don't have difficult situations in life, sometimes we don't pray. And so sometimes the church says, everybody come and pray. Nobody comes and pray. They go and eat. Well, you know, I prayed when I ate. I prayed for the food. God wants us to pray. The church is a praying community. Think about that for a second. A prayer from the bottom of the deep. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help. In the belly of the fish. The second point is we have to tell ourselves the truth. We have to admit our own condition. We have to admit our condition, our situation. Listen to this. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. Oh, by the way, a lot of people, when they think about the story of Jonah, they think Jonah was thrown and the fish caught him. No. Jonah landed in the water and sank down and down and down. And finally the fish caught him. And the fish came from God. The agency is God. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatening me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. And my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. And then he says something that is important for us. Because there in the belly of the whale, we call out to God. We encounter God, but God has something for us. And Jonah makes it clear here. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Friends, there are a lot of idols in this world. As Christians, we surrender totally to God. If you're holding on to something and you will not give that over to God, you have no hope. As Christians, we give over to God. That doesn't mean you give it to the church. It doesn't mean you give it to the person on the street. It's talking about your internal commitment to God has to be total. The Bible says this. What happens if you have hatred against a brother or hatred against a sister or you gossip? You have to repent. You have to ask God to forgive you. You can't go further. You can't go further in your relationship with God if you don't surrender to him. And Jonah learned this. Where did he learn it? In the belly of the whale. Let me say something about this. When people look at this account, they think Jonah's salvation was on the beach, when the whales spit him up on the beach. That's where his salvation is. Now he's free. No. The salvation for Jonah was in the belly of the whale. It was in the tragedy. It was in the terror. It was in the problem. And the same way with us. When we go through the most difficult things in life, we can call out to God in those most difficult times. That's where we meet him. I thank God for difficult times. Because God, another great theme in the Bible, is that God uses difficult times to bring us to him. Our path to salvation is through the belly of the fish. Thirdly, our thankfulness toward God restores us to his holy presence. This entire chapter 2 is about thankfulness. It's about Jonah coming to the point where he thanks God. From the depths of the grave, I called out for help, and you listened to my cry. The engulfing waters threatened me, seaweed wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down when my life was ebbing away. I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But is an important word in the Bible. Isn't that right, Ivan? But with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. He learned of God in this very difficult circumstance. So today, there are three things I want us to remember as we move on through the service, as we go into communion and go into prayer. There are times when we have to call out to God. Some people are proud. They never want to call out to God. Some people don't want to call out to God because it's a sign of weakness. They are autonomous. They want to do it themselves. Let me tell you, my friend, one of these days, you will never be able to do it yourself. One of these days, you will be like some of the elderly people that you know and I've worked with, and someone will be feeding you. Call out to God while you can. Develop your relationship with the one who is living. Secondly, we have to tell ourselves the truth. Why would you lie to yourself about your condition, your spiritual condition? Why would you not tell the truth? We, as Christians, are called to be transparent with God. God knows everything. You can talk to God. What are you going to do? Like Jonah in the belly of the fish, say, Lord, I'm good. I'm good. Are you really good? Now, good, I mean, I don't have any problems. You know, there's different kinds of good. No. Jonah was transparent, finally. And then finally this. Our thankfulness toward God restores us to his purpose. Once he went through the belly of the fish, that dark moment in life, and he offered thanks to God, God released him for his continued mission to serve God. Now, the truth is, in life, God has a purpose for us, doesn't he? And maybe the purpose for Jonah was to go to Nineveh and complete his mission. But our purpose as Christians is also in eternity. Some of us die. Is God done with us when we die? Is it over when we die? No. In heaven, God has a place for us of service and ministry. It's not over when someone dies. Not a Christian. So, friend, if you're running away from God, trust him. Open your heart to him. In your past, your present, and your future, submit to him. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. I ask your blessing upon this community. Lead us, guide us, help us, Lord, to call out to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.